Monday, July 13, the year 2020. Human beings are social by nature. Therefore, it was with great enthusiasm that I replied last night to a knock coming from the other side of the wall with a knock of my own. "Hello," I heard in response. "Is someone there?" It was difficult to make out the words, muffled as they were through the wood and plaster that held this place together. But the voice was deep, and the rhythm was strong. It was enough for me to understand. "Yes," I replied. "Someone is here. My name is Charles. Who might you be?"
"Hey, Charles," the man replied. "I'm Caden. You here for the Bachelorette?"
I liked this Caden, straight to the point of things, how all manner of discourse should be directed. "Indeed, I am here to win the affection of the fair Claire Crowley. I must assume by your question that you are as well."
"That's a pretty good assumption, dude,"
Cameron said, and punctuated it with a wry laugh. "You talked to anyone else yet?" he asked. "Only Gary and Sarah on the telephone. How about yourself? Have you had calls for socialization of any kind?" I asked.
"This is it," he said, and laughed again.
Caden was clearly using humor as a coping device to soothe him through this strange process. We talked well into the night about a wide variety of subjects. Caden had played football in both high school and at Division I college. He had prospects of a career in the sport, but nothing of substance ever materialized, so he acquired his real estate license in Tempe, Arizona, where he has resided for the better part of the last 3 years. He explained that he had enjoyed a good life, free from the worries that most people experience, but he was not without sorrow. The uncaring lips of tragedy had kissed his brow more than once. Most notably, his pet dog, Shotgun, had been hit by a car and not recovered from his injuries. To make matters worse, it was Caden's own father, Court, who had been behind the wheel on a hunting trip that the men of his family took yearly. Caden now wears a necklace fashioned from one of Shotgun's teeth as a reminder of the creature. He means to give this pendant to Miss Crowley at the opportune time. Perhaps it would be best used, he thought, to elevate his status on a group date should he find himself in that most precarious of situations. I revealed things about myself in kind. I made known to Caden that I had been a physician with my own practice for many years, but this career had taken its toll on me. There is only so much pain a man can see in one lifetime. And so I sold my business and decided to start over with something new, something that would bring me joy instead of the sorrow and misery that came from working with the ill and infirmed. I have always been fond of flowers. My mother had a rose garden when I was a child, and thoughts of my time spent with her always produce a smile on my face, melancholy though it may be. I explained to Caden that I was now the owner and proprietor of a flower shop in downtown Chicago, and just like his dog-tooth necklace, I planned to woo Miss Crowley with flowers on our first date, and the promise of flowers every morning if we were to find ourselves together at the end of all of this. I heard Caden laughing through the wall, and he said, "Bro, that's so crazy. You're on a show where they give out flowers, and that's literally like your job." He was right. There was a madness to it, but one I graciously accepted. As the night wore on, we both became tired. I welcomed the fatigue. I sensed the same was true for Caden. So we said our goodbyes and pledged to speak to one another the following day. I crawled into bed, pulled the bed sheets up tight, and took one last look out the window, into the desert beyond. Just as my eyes were closing,
and the sweet tendrils of a dream were wrapping themselves around my mind, I thought I saw someone on the path outside. But it was too late. Slumber had claimed me. This morning, I woke up and saw no sign of whoever it might have been, if it had been anyone at all. I couldn't be certain that it wasn't my tired eyes seeing things in the shadows that weren't actually there. I engaged in my morning routine and heard a knock. This time it came from the door. I opened it to find breakfast had been served, and I had not missed it this time. Eggs, bacon, and toast. I consumed the toast, but nothing else. Once again, my vegetarian request had been ignored. Curious to see what manner of breakfast Caden had been delivered, I went to the wall and knocked 3 times, as had been the pattern upon our introduction last night. There was no response. I knocked again, and still nothing. Perhaps, I thought, he was in the shower, or maybe still sleeping. Hours passed. Or maybe they didn't. I had no way of knowing. But when I heard the next knock on my door and lunch was waiting in the hallway, I became curious. Was it possible for Caden to still be asleep? Was he ignoring me? Was he still in the room? Had he even been there at all? As I pondered all of these possibilities, searching for some explanation, something out the window caught my eye. Movement. A person on the gravel path, walking in the blinding white rays of sun, seemingly unaffected. It took a moment for my eyes to refocus, to register what I was seeing. Who I was seeing. It was Chris Harrison.